About 10 million light years from us are two companion galaxies that astronomers call M81 and M82. So in a way, it's kind of in our neck of the wood, you might say, of the universe. And these two galaxies move rapidly in relationship to each other. M82 is interacting with some of the neutral hydrogen dust surrounding M81. And so they kind of rub shoulders together, and that triggers some violent activity in the central region of M82, which has triggered lots of stars to form in the past just few million years. And that's why M82 is called a starburst galaxy. It makes lots of stars. The new suns are made in all different sizes, from fairly low mass, sort of like our sun, up to these huge suns that are 8 times or more the mass of our sun. And it's an irony that it is these biggest, rarest suns that burn up most rapidly and end their lives in kind of violent, very violent supernova explosions that throw out huge amounts of hot plasma. And those violent eruptions radiate in the radio frequencies before collapsing into neutron stars, and occasionally collapsing further into black holes. Well, in that central 82 starburst region, scientists say there are some 50 objects that are recently collapsed remnants of supernovae that have gone off in a few hundred years. And calculations estimate that a new supernova will occur in the central M82 region about every 20 to 30 years. And that has set in motion the monitoring over the past 2 decades by Tom Muxlow, PhD, a radio astronomer at the Jodrell Bank Center for Astrophysics at the University of Manchester in Manchester, England. He has been monitoring M82, waiting for another supernova to go off. During that time, Professor Muxlow noticed an occasional faint radio wave appear and disappear in M82's central region, between his sampling of radio waves every 6 months to a year. And Professor Muxlow said, quote, "We've never known what those faint radio wave objects were. And then as we were reviewing data from the past 20 years, we discovered that there was a very bright new supernova that had gone off in April 2008 that we had originally missed. We realized this in March 2009, over a year later, and we all switched on a very intensive period of monitoring to keep looking at the supernova to see how it was evolving. That's when we were really surprised at what else we found." Close quote. Here now is UK radio astronomer Professor Tom Muxlow.
Okay.
We discovered that at the end of April, in the beginning of May 2009, another object appeared in the central region of M82, and it was another of these faint little points of radio emission, nearly 100 times fainter than the bright new supernova that had gone off elsewhere in the central region. But we thought that's one of these new transient radio sources that come and go within 6 months. So that's quite exciting. We thought, well, maybe this is a faint supernova. That's what we expected it to be, because most of the things that appear in M82 in the radio are indeed supernova remnants that have gone off. So we thought it might be one of those. So we started to monitor this. But it became pretty obvious early on that this was not looking to be like a conventional supernova. For a start, it turned on very rapidly. It appeared from nowhere inside a week. Now, in the radio, we normally expect to detect these objects as they expand, and for the radio spectrum to change. They appear usually at higher radio frequency, shorter wavelengths, and then the spectrum evolves and they become brighter at longer wavelengths. And we expect them to actually evolve and switch on a timescale of days to weeks, reach a peak, and then evolve down and decay away over a timescale of months. Well, this didn't do that. It switched on within a few days. And when it switched on, it was already deep spectrum. That is to say that it's already brighter at longer wavelengths and shorter wavelengths. And in fact, over the first 150 days of monitoring, it showed no sign whatsoever of having any form of decay. So that was unusual. On top of that, we were monitoring its position very accurately with our instrument, the Merlin Array, which is an array of telescopes across England, 230 kilometers in size, which allows us to measure positions with very high precision. And we were able to actually double-check the position of this object by referencing it to the position of all the other supernova remnants in M82 and tied its position very accurately. And over the first 50 days, we noticed that it appeared to move from east to west by about 10 milliarc seconds over that period. And the distance of M82, that's substantial velocity. In fact, it's apparently over four times the speed of light. Now, such apparent supraluminal motions are seen in the universe. They're not actually moving faster than the speed of light. They're a consequence of special relativity and looking down the throat of jet of plasma pointing nearly towards you. And the combination of those two effects produces this bizarre observational effect. And it is not what we would expect to see in a supernova.
For the general audience, just to recap, you are getting data that is showing that there is an object that is emitting this very strong signal, but it also appears to be moving four times the speed of light because of an optical illusion of the angle at which you are looking at this radio source?
Yes. When we look at the jets that come out of the environments of supermassive black holes in the centers of galaxies and of quasars, we quite often see, especially in quasars, we quite often see this apparent supraluminal motion. This indicates that this object is probably some jet from an accretion disk around some collapsed object and not a supernova remnant.
As a radio astronomer, you had never seen anything grow at this intensity over a short time period of a week, maintain it for months, and appear to be going four times the speed of light.
That's right. I haven't seen one turn on like this. Very unusual for M82. We've never seen this in M82, and possibly, I would say, we probably haven't seen this type of object before anywhere. This object does appear to be offset from the center of M82, so it's probably not the actual black hole, the center of M82, and it's not likely to be a faint supernova remnant. So what else can it be? Well, we do have the jets coming out of systems around collapsed stars within our galaxy, the Milky Way, and we call these microquasars, and they are usually X-ray binary systems where you have two stars close in orbit around each other. One has gone through its history and collapsed to a neutron star or black hole, and its companion is in close orbit to it and having material pulled off it by the gravitational attraction of the collapsed object, forming an accretion disk, and along the spin axis of the accretion disk come jets. And we know from X-ray studies of M82 that some X-ray variable sources are seen in the nuclear region, which we presume are this type of object, that we've never seen radio waves from any of these before, because normally they would be too far away to detect. If it is a microquasar, then it is certainly more luminous than any galactic example we've seen, perhaps nearly a factor of 10 brighter than the brightest example that we've seen, which is Cygnus X3, an object in our own Milky Way. Another problem is that it's also long-lived, because these galactic microquasars, they flare up on a timescale of days, and then within a week or two, they've faded away again. And this has been here for, in fact, we just checked it last week, and it's still there. So it's been there for nearly a year, which is quite unlike anything we've seen in the galaxy.